Let's take the scriptures and turn to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12, and we're reading verses 1 through 21, the entire chapter of 2 Kings chapter 12. Second Kings 12, verse 1. Give your attention to God's word because we hear it now as he speaks to us. These are his words. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord all his days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Only the high places were not taken away, and people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And Jehoash said to the priest, "All the money of the sacred things which is brought into the house of the Lord in current money, both the money of each man's assessment and all the money which any man's heart prompts him to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it for themselves, each from his acquaintance, and they shall repair the damages of the house wherever any damage may be found." It came about that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the damages of the house. And King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and for the other priests and said to them, "Why do you not repair the damages of the house? Now therefore take no money, no more money from your acquaintances, but pay it for the damages of the house." So the priests agreed that they would take no more money from the people, nor repair the damages of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in its lid and put it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priests who guarded the threshold put it in all the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. When they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came up and tied it in bags and counted the money which was found in the house of the Lord. They gave the money which was weighed out into the hands of those who did the work, who had oversight of the house of the Lord. And they paid it out to the carpenters and the builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to the masons and stone cutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damages to the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. But there were not made for the house of the Lord silver cups, snuffers, bowls, trumpets, any vessels of gold, or vessels of silver from the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. For they gave that to those who did the work, and with it they repaired the house of the Lord. Moreover, they did not require an accounting from the men into whose hand they gave the money to pay to those who did the work, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the guilt offerings and the money from the sin offerings was not brought into the house of the Lord, it was for the priests. Then Hazael, king of Aram, went up and fought against Gath and captured it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the sacred things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own sacred things, and all the gold that was found among the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent them to Hazael, king of Aram. Then he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? His servants arose and made a conspiracy and struck down Joash at the house of Millo as he was going down to Silla. For Jazachar, the son of Shimeath, and Hazabad, the son of Shomer, his servant, struck him, and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Amaziah, his son, became king in his place. And that is the word of the Lord. You remember the context that we're in here. The kingdom of Judah is somewhat in chaos. You remember the last chapter. But we have a great victory, it seems, because we see the familiar new king named in the first three verses, how long he reigned and that he did right in the sight of the Lord, except he didn't take the high places down. But where the Davidic kingship line, the line of David leading to Jesus, in the last chapter was hanging by a thread, remember that, from a couple weeks ago, it seems here that the line has been stabilized again. That should be thrilling to us as we're reading this, because we see in verses 1 through 3 the Lord remaining faithful to His promises. He promised that there would be a king who led to Jesus. And remember the last chapter, they Athaliah, verse 1 of chapter 11, was trying to put to death all of the royal offspring so that there would be no descendant. And there was only one left, a child. And so we thank the Lord for remaining faithful to His promises. Otherwise, the gospel would be nothing. God would not be God. We could have began to question whether He would be faithful in chapter 11, but He comes out boldly in chapter 12 and answers, I am faithful. But as we move on in verses 4 to 18, we see the king calling for the temple to be repaired. So we see his faithfulness to the Lord. We see that he is doing right in the sight of the Lord. He cares about the worship of the Lord. He wants it in fine working order. But in Jehoash's 23rd year as king, still nothing had been repaired. We don't know when he called for the temple to be repaired. But by the 23rd year, there's still nothing had been done. He asked the priests why. We don't know why. The king takes it upon himself and sees that the work is done. And again, this shows the piety and holiness of Jehoash. Then we get to verse 17. And things don't go as planned. Hazael, king of Aram, came up against Jerusalem, and Jehoash gave all the sacred things, all the dedicated things amongst the temple, and gave them to the king of Aram. Where Jehoash was pious and holy, here we see here some bad marks given if we were grading him, if the Lord's grading him, which it seems he is, by telling us verses 17 and 18. He would rather have political security and safety in his kingdom than defend the worship of the Lord above all things. He did not depend upon the Lord. He did not go to the Lord and seek His word or wisdom. So what disappointment is shown here concerning Jehoash, or as it says at the end of the book, verses 19 through 21, Joash. It's the same person, Joash, Jehoash. So what focus do we have? Is it in our earthly safety, political well-being, or is our focus upon defending the worship of the Lord above all, and these verses especially for elders? Let me show what good he did here. And yet two verses undoes it all. And Jehoash, or Joash, in verse 20, is conspired against. He's put to death. Doesn't say why. The kingdom is not in chaos. We think, well, the king is put to death again. There's no king. What happened? Well, there's a son. And Amaziah, his son, becomes king. And so there's no chaos. God is faithful to His promises. And so, beloved, trust the faithfulness of the Lord to His promises and defend the worship of the Lord of hosts at all times, above all else. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your worship. We thank You that You have given us our worship, and that thus far in the history of our congregation, from the beginning even to this current time, the worship in this church has been defended faithfully and earnestly, especially by the elders of Your church. We pray that that would continue, and that we would not succumb to the temptations of the world, or so the temptations that are amongst the church today to be entertainment driven, but that we would be word driven, that we would be driven by Your word, Your ordinances, Your statutes, Your commands, and by Your Spirit. And Father, we ask that You would indwell Your people by Your Spirit, and lead us to worship You, the living God, that we would receive Your word, that we would hear Your word, and that we would obey faithfully according as You would permit us. And Father, so we ask Your help, that You would remind us of Your promises and know, cause us to know in our minds and hearts that You are faithful to Your promises. That even when that seems like your promises will be broken. And there's great chaos and panic amongst the people of God. Well, let us not panic. Let us not respond in on our emotions or according to whims, but according to your word. That we would speak your promises just as you have told us, and that you would be faithful, and we would know without any shadow of a doubt that you will be faithful. That we would hope in your promises, because you always have been and always will be faithful to what you say. We thank you for that, that there's no guessing that we have to do. There's no trying to figure out what will happen and what won't happen. We know what will happen. We know that what you will do. Even as we go to John's Gospel in a few moments, as Jesus prays for the things he's praying to you, the Father, we know that what he's praying will come about and will be true. And so, Father, give us that confidence. Cause us to pray that way, according to your promises. Now, Father, we ask that you would make it so that we would not trust in government. And yet we would only trust in the government of the Lord God Almighty. Not the government of this world. Not politics. Not go and do all things for our own security, disregarding your law, disregarding what you love. But that we would love you and love your worship above all else. And in this time we ask that you would sanctify us with the truth, because your word is truth. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.